Om Shanti. It's a happy occasion for us to welcome Sister Kala, who has come from New York to be with us here today. She is a doctor, a pediatrician, in fact, by training, and she was a well-loved doctor in her time, in her practice, until she came to Brahmakumaris, and then she became our well-loved sister. She heads our retreat center, Peace Village. She is part of the NC team, the national coordinating team of the USA. She is the right hand of our Didi Mohini. Did I mention she is our dear sister? One interesting thing about her is that her dad still lives with her and with us in Peace Village. He's 90 years plus. He's very patient, loving, occasionally cooks a meal for us. So I would like to thank her dad and also to thank Kala Didi for being here. And she will be taking us on this topic of integrated inside out. Sister Kala.
Om Shanti, Om Shanti Vijayabhai, thank you for that. I wonder if we really need introductions as Baba's children, really. But I suppose that's one of the aspects of integration, right? So we have this very, very prominent introduction of ourselves. The soul that's projecting, of course, through the body, but also a little bit history and story of what the body has been doing and does on an ongoing basis. So very, very happy to also be here with all of you as part of this part of the Madhuban Double Foreigner season. And I am sure that you too, like me, love the topic, the power of our togetherness and everything that comes under that canopy, which is what you've been exposed to, listening from various people, different aspects. So today we are talking about, or we are exploring this topic of integrated inside out. And some of you may recognize this word integrated from a retreat that we just had amongst all the coordinators, Baba's coordinators of centers and countries from all over the world recently, last week actually. And we called it integrated retreat. As a matter of fact, we've been calling it integrated retreat for the last few years. Before that, it was called coordinators retreat, board retreat, this retreat, that retreat. So within that, there are several of us who play important roles in the different aspects of running centers or taking care of Baba's service in different countries. And of course, they all have their own titles and roles, right? So we used to divide them into different groups. And we all used to come at different times or different sessions. And I think it was not until a couple of few years ago, I should say not couple, because we haven't had anything for the last 2 years. But a few years ago, we realized that we're all part of the same body, right? The same body of people, souls, instruments that are taking care of different aspects of service in these countries. So, of course, we may have different names, we may do different things, but somehow or the other, we all cross paths. We're all very connected. We are all part of the same huge assignment that Baba has given us all, and that is to glorify Him through our own personality, through our own activities, and through our own modes of serving the people. So I think the title really struck a chord with me when we were in the middle of this retreat, and I said, but it's true for everything we do. It's not just about meeting together as an integrated retreat, but everything really has a lot to do with integration, you know, whether we stand as a whole body of BKs, whether we stand as a small group of teachers somewhere, whether we stand as a family in a center, or we even stand as our individual self. This word integration is very important, isn't it? At least myself, I like it a lot. And I remember a few years ago, or quite a few years ago, quite many years ago, we used to use this word, especially, not the word integrated, but we used to talk about balancing things out in our Brahmin life. Do you remember that? And we still perhaps, you know, talk about it, you know, balancing this with that, balancing that with this, laukik with alaukik, professional with Brahmin, all kinds of things. But then there came a time when we really said, is it really balance? You know, can we really balance laukik and alaukik? Can you really balance your time? Of course, yes, you know, come to think of it on a superficial level, you can say, I have to balance my time, I have to split my time. But at the root of it all is this aspect of being integrated inside, right? Being integrated in terms of your understanding of yourself, your realization of yourself, your values, your purpose, your connections. So it's like, if you start from there, then you don't have to work so hard mathematically, right? You don't have to count the number of hours in the day so much. Or you don't have to count, or, you know, like really compute, so to speak, how to organize, you know, your day. Although I think that's important at a later time, you know, at a later stage. But basically it starts with something deeper. And that something deeper is what I was referring to in terms of integration. Right? In other words, you really see the purpose of your life in a much more deeper way, spiritual way. You see all the talents and the expertise that you have gained even over the years, also in a very purposeful way. You don't just see it as, oh, I have this speciality, I have this talent, I have this degree, I have that, whatever. But you see it more as something that Baba and Rama have gifted you with at this time. And you are now looking to use it to the best of your advantage or Baba's advantage. And in a very balanced way. Yes, of course, you talk about balance, but it's not the kind of balance where you say so many hours of this, so many hours of that. But it really comes from a deeper sense of where you want to invest yourself, your energies from. So anyway, that's how I started thinking about it in terms of integration. And I think many of us sitting in this room will probably relate to this aspect, right? How do I integrate Brahmin life with everything else I do? Even though I'm a Brahmin 24/7, but sometimes we put this in another basket. You know, yes, Brahmin life, coming to class, going out to do service, all of that is a different basket. and you know what I have to do for my job, what I have to do for my family, especially if they are not all Brahmins, then that comes in a different basket, right? And then it goes to a different level of integration, which means that there are duties that I do, you know, for, of course, the day-to-day, you know, whether it's teaching duty or whether it's karma yoga duty, or, but it's the local duties that I do take care of, or assignments that I take care of. And then there is this other part of me, which I would call this interest, you know, part of me, or passion part of me, where that gets left out sometimes. Yes? Yes, I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to do, you know, I'm asked to do, that is necessary to do. But what about that part of me where, you know, I really want to express myself in a particular way, or I want to serve in a particular area, or serve a particular community, for example. Or I'm trained to do something, I have a talent of some kind, and I want to also express that, but I'm not being given a chance. What about that? Any of you feel like that, you know, sometimes, that there isn't a natural way to express myself in the fullest way possible? So there comes that also. But I also feel that this is why everything really starts from deeply knowing yourself, understanding the self, really experiencing yourself as a soul 100%. And then all these other things, whether it is an interest or a passion or a talent or speciality or whatever, it's an offshoot of that, the soul faculty, right? So what I have found, you know, in my growing years of Brahmin life, is that somehow or the other, if I do whatever I do in the name of service, in the name of my daily assignment or whatever, if I do it truly with that full understanding and giving the best of myself, and that can only happen starting from jnana and yoga, right? If I truly get the maximum benefit out of listening to Murali, for example, you know, if I pick up some point from the Murali and I allow that to be integrated in the soul in a holistic way. In other words, it's not just a point, but as Baba said recently, it's not just you're talking about a point, but you have actually imbibed that point and you have actually become an embodiment of that point. So if I go through those steps that Baba is telling me, I feel there is a lot of satisfaction, and you know, a lot of our what I call it as an interest or passion, it actually gets satisfied in that aspect. It's not to say that I don't, you know, worry about, you know, what I, you know, the other part of my interest, but at least to start from deriving that whole contentment, satisfaction, you know, and fulfillment rather, from jnana and yoga. The yoga part is equally important, right? You know, in terms of whatever experiences that I have with Baba, whatever different level of experiences I have in the stages of yoga, that's all actually integrating into the soul. It's actually becoming a part of the soul. It's becoming my, you know, sanskars within the soul. So to me, this is the highest level of integration that I can do. That I'm not just treating jnana as something out there, listening, giving some amount of time for it every day, but really making it into part of my personality. So I going back to my years of growing years as a Brahmin, I'm feeling that did I really, you know, give, you know, consciously enough thought to, but what about my speciality? What about my interest? What about my this? What about my that? So yes, of course, you're aware of it in the back of your mind, but it wasn't in the forefront. You know, it's not basically in the forefront. You're not actually consciously thinking about it. But what you are thinking about is, at least this is the way it happened with me, what you are thinking about is the normal day-to-day, you know, does this happen every day? So what I remember is that the integration actually was very much from jnana and yoga. That, you know, it's not that just because I know a lot of knowledge, I have a lot of knowledge, I have basically integrated all of that into my personality. But I listen to it a little bit at a time, I reflect on it a little bit at a time, churning some days, you know, nothing enters inside. But there are other days where something goes so deep inside that it's actually become a part of me. I have identified with it. I love it. Not only do I love it, but I, you know, I also can see the connection of that with my life. So for me, the integration is really about connecting with in a practical way with something that's happening for you at that time in your life. Say, for example, you are having a kind of a situation with someone, you know, in the Brahmin family, and you're not able to really resolve it. You're not really happy with it. You're not happy with the way the person is, you know, behaving. You're not happy with your own self responding or reacting to that person. And so, you know, it's a disintegrated situation. So, for example, yes, of course, I have listened to the Murli. I have listened to Baba's sweet signals. I have listened to what's the Srimad. I know about it. But I have not connected the two. You know, in other words, at the time that I am in front of this person or I am in this particular situation, that whole aspect of knowledge completely flies out of the soul. It's not a part of me. It may be just a few moments, but in those few moments, there is no sign that I have integrated this aspect of, say for example, if it's an aspect of every soul has a part, his own part, her own part, and it's accurate, or it's beneficial, or it is, you know, it's the best way that it can be played, that soul is playing the best part that the soul can play. So that aspect of knowledge, I am not emerging it, I am not remembering it, I am not really enacting it. So does it mean that I have integrated it into the soul? I have not, right? So until that scene or that situation happens where I am using that aspect of knowledge, it may be consciously, it may be subconsciously. Now sometimes I think, you know, we have identified with certain aspects of knowledge so deeply that it's not even that I'm consciously doing it, but it has become a part of my subconscious. And so that subconscious is already helping me in terms of that particular situation, and I'm able to deal with it fine. I'm able to not repeat the point to myself perhaps, but it's there in my memory, it's there in my awareness. And I'm able to be very successful, so to speak, in a spiritual way, you know. So for me, that is integration. So if I'm able to integrate, you know, aspects of knowledge, aspects of what Baba is telling me about this different levels of yoga, for example, if he is saying to me that there is a stage in which the soul is totally untouched. Say, for example, he would say bodiless stage. In the bodiless stage, the soul is totally untouched by anything that's happening on a physical level. Have I experienced that? Right? And the more I experience that, I feel that I'm actually becoming more integrated. Integrated with what? Integrated with the scenes of the drama. Even though it may seem like I'm not connected, I'm not, you know, affected, whatever. But in some deep way, the fact that I'm in part of that scene or situation and not affected means that I have integrated aspects of drama within the soul. Right? You see what I'm saying? So in a way, I've put most of my attention in integrating jnana and yoga and of course dharana, service. All of that is equally important. But to me, it satisfies the soul. And so therefore, in that respect, if there is if there is something that you are very good at, you have a talent for something, you have a passion for something, you have an interest for something, and it's great, of course, that you can explore it. But many times in Brahmin life, it happens that there isn't a chance to explore it. There isn't a chance to express it. There isn't, like maybe because of time factor, maybe because of the place that you're in, maybe because of the people that you're with or whatever. So there may not be a chance immediately to explore or express what you have inside. But at the same time, you don't feel dissatisfied, so to speak. Because when Baba talks about contentment, right, 100% contentment, you know, and he talks about contentment as a quality. He doesn't talk about contentment as something that you achieve at the end of the road. You do this, you get this chance, you explore this, and then you feel content. But no, he says contentment as a quality that Baba has given you. Now, how do you get to that place of contentment? I feel it's only when you have imbibed the whole of the knowledge that Baba has given, you know, in a very real way, integrated it into the soul, made it into your personality. It's only when you have experienced all these levels of yoga or experience or awareness, and then you can really say that, yes, I'm content. I'm really content. So there is a lot of depth when Baba uses that word contentment, I feel. And it's very connected, at least for me, with this stage of integration of everything in knowledge of yoga, of inculcation, of service, of everything. Now, it comes to, yes, of course, one is the integration within yourself, right? For some of us, it seems like a little split, you know, because you're living in an environment that is not totally conducive to Brahmin life many times. Sometimes you're living with people that are at the crossroads, I know, that are opposing your way of being, your way of life, you know, everything. But then again, I think, you know, when I was faced with that situation right in the beginning, you have to call upon your virtues. You have to call upon your powers, right? It's not just that you've made your decision and it's going to work for you. But where are my powers? I have to integrate my powers with the choice that I have made, right? So somewhere you have to also reach out and invoke those powers and those virtues. So whether it is courage, whether it is patience, whether it is the power to face a particular situation or a relationship that is not working out. But yes, it's one thing to say that, you know, I have chosen my path, or I have chosen the purpose in my life, or I have chosen the values that I want to stand for, but I have to support them with my qualities, with special qualities, one or two special qualities that need to uphold. And the same thing with the powers. You know, when Baba says, invoke your powers, what does that mean? It's really coming to support my choice. If I not live a normal life, for example, you know, like a regular non-jnani life, non-yogi life, I don't perhaps need a lot of those powers. But once I have chosen this path, a spiritual path, an integration of courage, you know, virtues and powers is needed. So that's where I see that I need to also invoke those powers and virtues. And then, of course, you know, there is a big, big subject of living together as a family, even in an alaukic sense, spiritual sense. You know, it's, you know, you think that you have crossed the greatest barriers when you have dealt with all the lokics and all the friends and relatives, and you've said, and you've come out of that, you know, barrier. And then you're coming into the Brahmin family, whether it is just a few hours of exposure to the Brahmin family or 24 hours of exposure to the Brahmin family, it still is not easy, right? So then you're facing a whole new set of situations and scenes that will need for you to maybe integrate in a different way. Yes, of course, you have integrated aspects of knowledge, aspects of experiences of yoga and all of that. But now you're in a situation where you're in a family setting, in a group setting, or in a community setting, and you need to kind of integrate in a different way. And this is very interesting, because when you come to the Brahmin family, you think that we're all the same. What's the need for integration, right? Because we all come together every day, we listen to Baba every day, we wear similar kind of clothing every day, we have the same kind of principles we live by, even as, people coming from different, but after all, we've all accepted Baba's Maryadas, Baba's Srimat, all of that. And so what's there to integrate? What's there to get along with? And I think you've had a beautiful discussion about living with others, working with others in the Brahmin family, you know, in through these few days. But this whole aspect of integration for me is very beautiful, you know. Because what is Baba creating at the end of the road? Why has he put us all together? And this has been a very lovely experience, especially this time, you know, being with the like-minded souls, especially at the retreat, the integrated retreat. It's a very beautiful experience of going back in time to how the Dadis would have done it. You know, because some of you, of course, have not visually seen the Dadis at work in terms of, you know, them being together as a group of Dadis. In the early days when we used to come to Madhuban, it was a beautiful scene. You know, of course, we hear of one Dadis, two Dadis, three Dadis, but to see them all together, it was such a delight. A delight because they were all very powerful, but they were all powerful in a very different way. They all had their own uniqueness. They all own had their individuality. They were not just put into a mold and taken out, and they were not like robots, right? Just because they were dadis, they were not like, you know, in the same mold. But they had their own beauty, they had their own power, they had their own individuality, and yet when they came together, it was a beautiful scene, you know? And it was like seeing them at play. It was like, you know, they would play with each other. Even if it was Gyan, they were sharing. But it would come in a way that you would feel that they were playing. Sometimes Baba talks about the badminton of knowledge, you know, like, you know, or sometimes he would talk about how, you know, when a dancer sees a nice audience, then the dancer dances very beautifully, you know, something like that. So when you saw them together and when we were in front of them, it was like seeing a beautiful dance or seeing a beautiful play or, you know, throwing badminton balls or something like that, because the way they would share was very unique, very different, each different from the other. And there was a lot of lightness that they had among them. So this time, as I was sharing, coming together, I was taken back in time to saying, how would they have gelled? You know, when we use the word gelled, you know, when you come into a new setting, a new group of people, and you have to work with them, you have to actually come together and gel together, right, as a group. So did they take time to gel together? You know, I started thinking over these things. But a very beautiful thought came that that just as they came and they recognized Baba as the Baba of the last kalpa, right? Baba always talks about that power of recognizing. You recognize Baba and you say, yes, Baba, you're mine. Even this morning, Baba talked about that. And you make Baba belong to you. Baba makes you belong to you. So there is a recognition that comes from a long, long time ago, even though we didn't know it at that time. But it happened. It happened in a very subtle way for many of us, that you recognize some familiarity, some kind of closeness, some kind of togetherness that we have felt before. And so what I was feeling this time was that they didn't come and, you know, start fresh, in other words, from nothing. But they recognized the seed of something that was golden aged within them, within each other. And based on that golden aged feeling, sanskar, memory, whatever you want to call it, they connected, right? So this aspect of connecting with each other, even though we're not dadis, we've come years after all of our, but still, we belong to the same family. Golden aged family, one family, which we called. So what about connecting with each other as part of that whole? You know, yes, of course, in this birth, we come from different lands, different cultures, different mentalities, different backgrounds, different stories we've all had. But when we come to Baba and when we come to the center, or and we meet each other as a family of Brahmins, what's the feeling? Yeah. To evoke those kind of feelings of belonging as one, of course, to one Baba, but especially this golden aged feeling that there is something very unique, very beautiful, very pure in our connection. Can we do? I'm sure some of you have experienced that. So I was thinking that, you know, if we can build on that experience, maybe we've just had momentary experiences of that. Maybe it's very fleeting. Maybe it's just once in a while. Maybe not at all. But if we can evoke that feeling and build on that memory, build on that experience, then it doesn't matter which culture we come from, which part of the world we come from, which language we speak, but we can actually become very integrated as one, right? Because there's something beautiful that we bring in, whether it is the land that we were born in, the culture we were brought up in, or whatever else group that we kind of belong to. But there's something beautiful that each one of us has retained in us. And if we can just connect with that beautiful part of that culture or that sanskar that we can connect with. So it's what integration is all about, isn't it? That we don't have to think too hard about, you know, where does this fit into the Brahmin culture? So for example, what does this have to do with Brahmin culture? We don't have to think about that. But there is this natural sense of identifying with something that is pure, identifying with something that is original, so identifying with something that is belonging to all of us. So I think for me this was like a new thing that happened when I was in this group and this gathering, and some of you might have heard about this or seen this, but there were this picture of these ancestor souls in the hall. And it was such a beautiful feeling, as if they are holding us, right? They are holding us in unity and in an integrated way. We don't even have to make the effort to hold ourselves together as one. But the fortress is already there. We don't even have to build that fortress. Baba is there. Our ancestors are there. The history of the Yajna is already there. And so we have already come at a time when that fortress is already built. So just coming and acknowledging that I am part of this huge connected family, integrated family, I think is a beautiful thing, right? And a golden-aged family, it's already a beautiful thing that's there, built for me. And so I don't have to do the building blocks of, you know, which part of it is Brahmin and which part of it is not Brahmin and all of that. So I just wanted to share that thing. In terms of my practical exposure, actually, coming into, of course, you know, Brahmin life is one thing, but I want to share a little bit about how I came to be at Peace Village. You know, of course, as when you come into Brahmin life and when you're surrendered to service life, you start seeing everything under the lens of what you do day to day, right? That takes a big chunk of your intellect. And so I was very caught up into this aspect of, you know, how much there is to do. You know, on a day-to-day basis. This is before the place Peace Village came about, for example. I'm just using this as an example. But in those days, I was, you know, of course I was an instrument in Harmony House in New York. And I used to think that there's a lot to do and there's not enough people to do things. Sounds familiar, right? All of us. So where are all these people? And then they were talking about getting this new retreat center and, you know, having a big place and all of that. And I took no interest in it whatsoever because I thought it was out of context. You know, because let's just deal with the day-to-day stuff. You know, and if you can't deal with the day-to-day stuff, what are you going to deal with the big place like that? And so I had nothing to do with it. But of course everybody went on, they're not going to wait for me to say yes, who am I in this big plan of things. So it came so that it was supposed to come through, the deal was supposed to come through for this huge retreat center. And I still wanted nothing, no part of it whatsoever. And so I stayed away as long as possible. But then there was a time when there was a little hold up. And so people started to have, we started having meditation, special meditation to facilitate the deal, right? Meditation, yoga power and all that. And so here I was sitting in meditation. This was before the deal was going through. And there was a beautiful image that came through. And the image that came through was that I'm walking this, Peace Village, facilities, in the forest. And here's Baba walking with me. And Baba is telling me, showing me the beauty of the place and actually whispering in my ear that this place is for world service. It's for world service. It's not about one person, two person, three person, few people taking care. It's not about that. But it's a place, it's a gift that Baba is giving for serving the world. This was the message that I was hearing in my ears. And so there was a shift in my consciousness. Right? There was a shift in my consciousness. And so why I'm sharing this now is because I feel that's what integration is all about. It's really about expanding consciousness. It's not being stuck in a small little area of whatever you're doing, a small little area of whatever you're experiencing. It's not about whatever, but it's about expanding your consciousness to the unlimited. And that's exactly what our theme for the integrated retreat was all about also. Unlimited, being unlimited. How do you really integrate somebody who believes one thing and somebody who believes in something that's totally opposite of that? And this happened regularly in Peace Village setting, and especially in the beginning as I was getting used to it, I was getting to the different way of people were thinking and doing things. It would often come up, someone's value system, very good value system, value, but someone else's value that is totally opposite, in other words, not really opposite in the way that they don't want to, but their value is totally on something else. I'll give you an example. And it has a lot to do with, how we spend our time and energy and money and all that, right? So for some, what would be very important is to take care of how we take care of the inside of the building, for example, reception, this, that. And for some, it would be totally outside of the building, the resources, the pond that we have, the trees that we have, and all of that. And they all take resources to take care, maintain them, right? Now, where do you put your energy in? Who do you listen to? How do you integrate the whole thing? So this became like a little game, because, yes, of course, it's all Baba's property, and each part of the property is important and has to be taken care of. But does it mean that you give more importance to one person, individual, and less to the other individual who believes in the other things? And this is where I think conflicts happen, right? Because you pay more attention to one person and because of their value or whatever, and the other person gets left out. So it was a really big learning curve for me to work with the souls there, the people there, and the property there, the facilities there, and the different kind of priorities that you have to always think about. But the only way you can integrate, and stay integrated is when you are integrated inside. That it's not about preferences that you are giving to individuals, but it's really you are acting based on Baba's principle of respect, of giving love, you know, equal importance to everything, and prioritizing and making sure that there is no conflict that is created. So things like just because, you know, one person's idea is preferred to the other person, it doesn't mean that you actually are on the side or taking sides for this person. It's taking for, but you have to absolutely remain neutral in your way of thinking and prioritizing. So I just was, I used that as an example because it's a kind of a minuscule example of what we are doing with Baba's work on a worldwide scale, right? You know, some people are devoting more time and energy to one type of service, another type of service, another kind of everything. And at the same time, we are all at different levels of spiritual growth, maturity, understanding, you know, all of that, our own experience in spirituality, all of that is also very different. But deep inside, we equally value each one, you know, the same. We respect each one the same. We treat each other the same. You know, we share love in the same way also. Even if we have to say no, but we say it in a very loving way, right? We always support it with, you know, why we are saying no to something. So it's not like we are saying no because we don't like someone or we don't like an idea or whatever. But it's this whole aspect of how we work with each other, which Baba always talks about, you know, that, you know, you can share your idea, but at the same time, whatever is the consensus, you say yes to that. At the end of it, child so master, master so child. So all the things that Baba tells us to practice. I think the more we practice those, you know, inculcation points, I think we can really bring the family together in a very nice way, integrate, and we can move forward service in a very integrated way. Because what I was noticing, or what I'm noticing more and more, is that Baba's family not only is unlimited, but it is so resourceful. So even the resources are so unlimited. And every, you know, every person, every soul is looking forward to just being used in whatever little way for Baba's work. Right? And it's a big thing. If you see the whole running of Baba's property here, Shantivan down there, every soul feels so proud that they are being used in God's work. I don't know if, you know, that was another thing that I noticed this time especially, that it gives such a sense of pride when even a little bit of someone's something, talent or source, you know, quality or resources are used for Baba's work. So to be able to give that opportunity to every soul, I feel that that's one way that we can really integrate the whole thing, not to say no to anyone just because of whatever reason, but really how can we allow every little finger to come in to cooperate in Baba's work, as Baba was saying today, whether it is through mind, whether it is through body, whether it is through, you know, resources of wealth, or whether it is their talent or whatever. So to be able to integrate all the forces and resources in that way with a lot of love and respect is also, I think, very important in the Brahmin family at this time. There's just one more aspect that I wanted to really bring up, and it has to do with, as I mentioned before, that each person, even though we may come from the same place and the same background, but our level of understanding of Jnana is very different. So we need to be able to integrate that also. Just because someone is a Brahmin, not to assume that they have the same kind of maturity as the other person, and this person as the other person, but but they are different. And so not to discount anyone, not to disrespect anyone, but equally respect them for whatever little they have understood of jnana and whatever they have been able to imbibe, you know, in terms of their practical life, equally to respect that. But our attitude should always be of inspiring, you know. So the integration in this respect will come from our inspiration. So how do I involve them in terms of how do I inspire them to do more or to understand more or to move to another level? I think that's where my role comes. That it's not that I say, okay, let them stay the way they are, but can I inspire them to move ahead, you know, through my good wishes, through my vibrations. Another word that comes to mind is inclusiveness, right? So inclusiveness is a very big part of integration. And I think everybody notices more and more that we are really moving into that era of inclusiveness. Even in Baba's family, Baba's work, it's not about leaving anyone out of, you know, not informing them enough, not involving them in the decision making and all of that. So as much as we can include or at least give feelings of inclusion. I was remembering a time with Dadi, for example, and not her time, many times, you know, Dadi would, a small group of us would go and tell Dadi, Dadi, can we come and sit with you? Can we spend some time with you? And we would take time and go. Somebody else would hear about it, somebody else would hear about it, somebody else would hear about it. And we would all be whispering to each other and saying, but no, you know, we want to just be ourselves. And Dadi, whoever she sees, she would say, come, come, come. What was that all about? She knew very well the long-term impact that would leave in the minds of people when she would say no to someone, right? So yes. In a limited way, at that particular time, you may have achieved a sense of closeness to, you know, Dadi's. But she would see far-sighted and she would say, but this one is also valuable, this is also valuable. So she would give a lot of importance and value to every soul in the yajna. And so I see that that's very important today also for us. To be inclusive. And of course there are things that you cannot include, you know, in a particular way. But you can find an alternate way of including them in a project, right? Or at least you can keep everybody informed. I think information sharing is very important in terms of integration, right? Even people don't know about something, they feel left out, they feel they're not part of it. But just share a little bit of information of what's going on. You know, it's not that you have to share everything, but keeping the family aware and informed and included, I think, is a very important aspect of... And sometimes people feel disconnect if you don't share information. And so being connected is very important. As a matter of fact, the first aspect of connection is being informed or communicate with them. And then, of course, whatever they can do in terms of cooperation is also important, because ultimately we forget that it's Baba and Baba's work. Even whatever part we are getting to play in whatever aspect of Baba's task is our fortune. So why deprive others of their fortune if I can share that also? So these were some of the things that I thought were very important, especially looking at the times today, looking at the way that things are going today in terms of Baba's work going so fast that it's very easy to feel left out. Left out. It's a common feeling that many of us feel from time to time. because, you know, so many people that we used to be close before, and now they're getting involved in so many things that we don't know about and we can't be involved. So it can leave the family a little bit disconnected. So I thought that every member of Baba's family is important, valuable. How do we, of course, Baba says, soul to soul vision, you know, whenever we get a chance, you know, even to acknowledge very briefly with a smile, with a little Om Shanti, you know, it's great. And even walking in the amongst the thousands of people that are walking through Gyan Sarovar, even yesterday I was feeling, you know, can you, you know, just for a moment stand back and just acknowledge that we are all part of the same family, beautiful golden aged family. You know, we don't have to do too much, but just through our acknowledgement internally, just taking a few seconds to say that we are all together in this creation of the new world, golden aged world. I think it's, and it's, I don't know if others will feel it, but it gives a lot of satisfaction to the self, I think. It's really about our own feeling of connectedness. That if we want to feel that sense of connection, then we have to give ourselves that quality time to acknowledge the connectedness that Baba has already created for us by sharing the knowledge, sharing the wisdom. And by teaching us yoga. Yoga is connection. So on the one hand, we are connected with Baba, but we're also connected with the whole family. And Dadi Ji was a very good example of that. She gave us that feeling of connectedness.
सतयुग में तुमको आना है शिव पिता को अब याद करो ये संगम का स्वर्णिम युग है शिव पिता
तुम्हें आना है
Just wanted to share one small thing about Dadiji. As I was sharing that, once we asked Dadiji, and Dadi, when you are with Baba, you're with Baba, and where are all of us? Because she had a lot of love for us, but when she was with Baba, you know, she was just with Baba. And her answer was that you're all there with me. You're all there with me, even when I'm with Baba, you're there with me. Which means that she was so integrated in her love, you know, like it wasn't split. That when you're with someone, then you're not with someone else. But true love is about that, isn't it? That feeling of connectedness, inclusiveness, belonging, always. Om Shanti. And so maybe we can take a couple of questions, if there is anything, or any comments. You'll have to walk up to the front and use a mic. And we are also being recorded or live streamed, remember. Okay. We are also integrated together with everything, right? No questions. When there is clarity, then there is integration automatically. Okay. I think he's getting a call.
Okay, Brahmin life is quite special because we have to be very close together, but in the same time only remember Baba. So how do you make this equation of being close and just be with Baba? Shanti.
Well, I'm still trying it. But I always remember Dadiji, and Dadiji's image, as I was sharing, is very inspiring for me, because for her, Baba meant also Baba's family, Baba's children. So even though she had dedication, you know, total loyalty, total faith, total love for Baba, but it was very inclusive, because even for Baba himself, I think, he says, you know, he loves the gathering. And how many times Baba would come, and he said, Baba loves the gathering, and Baba will, you know, come into the gathering. And so, because Baba loves family, Baba loves gathering, Baba loves our togetherness, this is the way to glorify him. I have to remind myself again and again, whose child is this? Whose reflection is this? Whose task is this? So, yes. And in a way, I think it's a nice exercise to see one of Baba's quality, you know, something of Baba's quality, something of Baba's wisdom in every interaction. I did it at one time, consistently for some time, and it was a very beautiful exercise. To consciously try and see one of Baba's quality or way of doing things, or something about Baba's knowledge being displayed, you know, in that interaction. So that kind of keeps you close to Baba when you're with people, when even there, if they are Brahmins or not Brahmins. I think everyone still displays something special. Especially if you look for it, you'll find it. If you don't look for it, you won't find it. So I think it's really in our eyes, you know, if our eyes can see it, if our mind can see it, our eyes can see it. And I think that's a good way to keep close to Baba and the family, both at the same time.
So another question is, can you share about the method to evaluate the result of Baba's task? That is, I guess, after you have completed a task for Baba, how do you evaluate the result?
To me, I look at my own sense of fulfillment, satisfaction, fulfillment. That for me is the greatest degree of how successful Baba's task has been. Can anybody else tell me about it? No, I don't think so. It's only me I can tell myself. Yes, it's great to see outside results, you know, the outward results of how many came and how many, you know, we're happy and all of that, you know. But I think that's still secondary as far as I'm concerned. And the satisfaction or the fulfillment, you know, if there is any sense of I, sense of I or my, then I can definitely tell I'm not totally satisfied. You know, if I'm, or there is some kind of a little insecurity, for example. You know, if I'm taking credit personally for the success, then I really don't feel that sense of fulfillment or satisfaction. But it's a very subtle gauge that you have to kind of sharpen and refine with time. Sometimes you can fool yourself and say, oh, I did so great, or it was so great. But it's really coming from that sense of ego. But if I sit with Baba and if I sit honestly with myself, I could find out that there is that little clash of ego. Even though the success was there, it was there, but it's still mixed. In other words, it's a little adulterated. So I think, and of course everyone else's happiness or satisfaction is equally important. And I think you all must have heard this story that, you know, even if one person felt not satisfied, not happy, or felt left out, it's not a sign of the ultimate success that Baba wants. So still something to work on. Not to feel dejected or not to feel hopeless about it, but to make note of it and say that this got left out, you know. Next time I have to be careful to take care of this particular, you know, thing that is left out. Say, for example, you know, somebody didn't feel involved or, you know, feel happy about something. I need to take it, you know, pay attention to that. Yeah.
Я начинающий брамин, и у меня всегда возникает такой вопрос: йога, Баба, как бы я внутренне ощущаю его очень хорошо, но говорят, нас когда учат, говорят, я душа, с визуализацией Баба, видеть звездочки, это обязательно или достаточно того, что я ощущаю его?
I mean, you brahmin. And when I meditate, I feel Baba. But we are taught that we should visualize a point of light, a star. Is it necessary, or it's enough that I feel Baba's presence?
No, it's perfectly all right. If you feel Baba's presence, Baba's quality, then that's great. But at the same time, just, you know, have this sweet conversation with him too. You know, giving it back to him, grateful for him, appreciating. So, yes, you know, not necessary always to visualize, I feel. But it's, you know, even this morning he said, does a child need to see a picture? Does a child need to visualize? No, child just needs to feel the Father and the Father's love and the Father's presence. That's all. That's perfectly okay.
Yeah. Om Shanti Kalaman. You, amongst many, many seniors, have shared about Daddy Prakashmani in terms of the capacity to integrate, to make souls belong, and yet still be detached. There are many daddies, but that particular daddy is often mentioned. Do you know of what particular aspect of her practice with Baba and soul consciousness is what makes her so unique in that capacity to integrate?
I think that Dadiji had a very rightful relationship with Baba. You know, she had a lot of love, but it was in the form of a right, you know. And so because she had claimed the rights, all the rights from Baba, she was very secure. And so she was able to embrace many different souls, you know, even knowing that they may be impure, they may be whatever weakness or whatever they were expecting from us. So there was no hesitation, I think. And of course, I think it was because of her purity, of course. And so I think purity allows you to claim those rights, you know, like, you know, completely, fully claim your full inheritance. And because of that, I feel that security was there. And that security allowed more space for everyone to come into her field. And she was very embracing and inclusive. I think that's what happens in terms of her relationship. Yeah. Because a lot of us, you know, we hesitate, you know, because we are with Baba, you know, and we hesitate. Even when, of course, we will not remember other souls, but even when people come into our interaction, relationship, we kind of hold back from offering what Baba has given us completely to them. So, and it has to do with purity, I think.
Okay, I have another question. I don't know if it's exactly on the subject, but is when Baba say, "Please use me," because I feel that when we use Baba and we are connected with Baba, then we can be close to the other without being attached or dependent or desires from the others. So, can you share any tips, or you use Baba and or by using Baba, it's helping you to whatever your stage or to make your Brahmin life. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, yeah.
I'm not sure if this is an exact is the right example. But I think it's a kind of a confidence that comes. Now, when you know Baba accurately, when you have recognized Baba fully, and not only as Baba is, but also the way Baba works, you know, that is part of that recognition also. Knowing all his powers, knowing all his subtleties and all that. So when you know him and you remember him that way, I feel that you don't have to go to anyone else or anything else, be dependent on anyone or anything else. I can only, I mean, this is very fresh and current, you know, what's happening in Madhuban, for example, this time, for me, is that but one thought, and it happens, right? Whatever needs to happen, happens. You don't need to use more than one thought. You know, you get a thought and you're already assured that it's supposed to manifest. In other words, it will manifest, in other words. So you don't even have to work out who, how, why, you know, all of those things. So sometimes, and of course in Madhuban it's because of the synergy of everybody, everything happening here. It's not the same when we're out there, right? So we still have to work out the details of, you know, how it's going to manifest, for example. So in those instances, Baba is saying, come to me directly, use me, leave it to me. Don't think that you have to work it out. You know, so we remember Baba, but we still hold the strings of how we want it manifested. You know, we still want to control it a little bit. And that's what Baba is saying, let go of that string of control or expectation or anything like that, but leave it to him completely, you know. So that takes a lot of knowing and confidence and that kind of closeness with Baba, you know. I don't know if it answers your question, but he is almighty. I mean, you know, you have to believe he is almighty. Sometimes, of course, Baba says, you know, I'm not going to take care of your illness and this and that and whatever. But even in that illness or even in that situation, physical situation, to know that he's there, to hold him so tight and to take support from him and nothing else and no one else. So it happens, and it's a training we have to give ourselves, little by little by little, letting go of that support. I'll tell you the example, you know, Brother Vijay was sharing about my father, Lokik father. So I remember a few years ago when something would happen with his health, he would be waiting for me, or he would call me, or, you know, or whatever. And little by little it happened that I couldn't always be there. So even if he calls, I'm not available or whatever. So, and of course he's listening every day in a Murli, let go of attachment, let go of this, let go of this. But he's sharing with me, but I still can't. But lately he's telling me that, you know, you're not going to be there anyway, so I might as well just remember Baba. But he kept doing it over and over again, that, you know, that these are all limited physical supports, so I can't depend on him. And so he's training himself to go to Baba. You know. Literally, when he's in a dire situation, something's happening with the body or whatever, literally he's training himself and saying, Baba, not this one, not that one, not this one. With Baba. So you have to kind of teach yourself, train yourself, little by little, I think. Om Shanti. So those from the region can stay back just for a quick hello.
बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल है हम रूहानी, बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल है हम रूहानी, महके जिया सुचिता से वो दुनिया है बनानी, बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल है हम रूह।